Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Bava Metzia Kuf Yud Gimel, we are holding out the Mishnah, which is around 10 lines off the top of the Yomit. Hamalves Chaveri Ruben Lenshim and $1 million. Lo Yimashkinenu El Bebezn. You can only take a collateral, a mashkin. He can't do it on his own. He can't, you know, bump into him in the street and grab his horse. He can only do so via an agent of Bezdin, a shliach of Bezdin. Only Bezdin has the authority to seize a mashkin for a loan. V'lo yikonis lebeis alitio mashkinu, says the Mishnah. Nor can he enter the loiva, the borrower's house, to take out a mashkin. And the Gemara will discuss exactly who's attempting to do this. A private person or a bezdin. So you cannot enter his home. Shenemar ba'chutz ta'amoid. The pasuk says, wait outside for him to bring it to you. Now, ha'yilei shnei kelim. Suppose he was compelled to take two, kelim, two tools, two utensils to cover the loan. Rashi says his chayv, his loan amount, covered both. So he needed two items for a mashkin, each worth, you know, half the loan amount. And the owner, the loiva, needs them. For instance, he took his mattress and he took his plow shovel, right? So one he needs by day for his livelihood, and one he needs at night to sleep on. On this, the Torah says, there is a mitzvah hashavas ha'avot. Return the mashkin when the fellow needs it. So if he took two kelim, for instance, as we said, the mattress and the plow, noitel echad, umaniach echad, he'll alternate. What does that mean? Umachzir sakar balayla, the mattress, he'll give him back at night to sleep on. Come the morning, he'll take back the mattress, the lender will take back the mattress, and flip it, vesa machresha bayim, and give him the machresha as plow shovel. So he can use it for his work. And then it gives him back by day. Vimeis continues the mission. Although there's a mitzvah of allowing the leiva to use his necessary, his tools that he needs for his parnasa or for his own personal need. But that's only personal to him. Vimeis, but if he passes away, einoi machzir leyoisha v'chiddush. The malva has no obligation to return these items to his family, to his heirs, to his yershin. Rashi says, the pasuk mentions the word loy, hashev teshivim loy. It's a personal obligation to return it to him. There's no chiv to do so for the yershin. And the Rashi explains that the Tanakhama learns that what happens at this point, the malva will just sell it and use it to collect his loan, right? Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, guess what? Even during the loiva's lifetime, it's not an unlimited, open-ended system here, right? There's a limit to this, back and forth deal. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, af la'atzmai eini machzir. Even the loiva himself is not entitled to ask for his things back. Ela shleish yamim. You have until 30 days. Umishleishim yam lahalan. But once 30 days pass, that's it. Mechon rebezin. The malva just takes the item, goes to the bezin, and sells it under their authority, under their auspices. Whereas the Tanakhama disagrees. He holds that when the fellow is around, you can't just sell the item. You have to return it to him and demand that he pays. But Rav Shmuel Leil disagrees. He says the mashkin itself can be used for collection purposes. Omar Shmuel, here comes a chiddush. Shmuel says shliach bezdin, even an agent of the bezdin, menateach netuchi, although he is authorized to seize a mashkin, but only in the street. Rashi says menateach netuchi means menatik. He could just snatch it off the fellow. He can snatches Ferrari away from him. He can't go into his house, into his garage. Menatech netuchayin aval mashkuni lo. He can't go into the fellow's private property, memashkin, out of his house. So even the Shliach Bezdin can't do that. So according to Shmuel, a private person can't even do this, but a Shliach Bezdin is entitled to be menateach netuchis, to take a mashkin if he happens to encounter one in the street. But look at the Mishnah. Mishnah says, you lend a fellow money, he's not paying, you can't do a mashkin on your own, you have to do it through the Bezdin. But the Bezdin can do it in any shape or form, right? Mechlal de bebezdin memashkinin. And Rashi says memashkinin means mashma mitoich beis, mitoich habayis. Bezdin doesn't have this limitation. They can go into the fellow's house. Amalach Shmuel, no, Shmuel responds, Eima loyinat cheno le bebezdin. The Mishnah means that even the Bezdin can only be menateach, which again means, you know, find him in the street and take it from him, but you can't go into the person's private place, into his house. I'll even support this pshat and prove it as correct. The Tani Sefa, look at the next part of the Mishnah. Right? Mishnah continued, right, with that phrase which we didn't really fully understand at the time. Don't go into his home to take the mashke. Now, who's going in? Who are we speaking about? Money. Ilim Ebal Chai, visit the private person, the lender. Well, of course, Mereisha Shemamino. We already learned that in the first part of the Mishnah. You can't be Mamashke in him. Elav Shteyach Bezdin. Apparently, we're speaking about Shteyach Bezdin, and still the Mishnah says you can't enter private property to take the Mashke. And this will be a riot to Shmuel, that even a Shteyach Bezdin can only do so out in the open, but not by encroaching his property. Imisham Homo, like Iriyah says, the Gemara, no, this wouldn't necessarily prove anything. Hachi Kamar, the Mishnah would mean like this. Hamavet Chaveri, right? Reuben lends Shimon money. Lo yimashkenenu el bebezdin. So if Shimon defaulted on the loan, due date arrived, he's not paying. You can only seize a mashkin through the bezdin. Right? And as we said, the bezdin can do so, and mechlal de bebezdin memashkinim. But if bezdin is involved, they can even be memashkin, which means go into his house and take his item. Ubal Chayiv, and when the Mishnah says, well, don't enter his property, that's going back to a private person. Ubal Chayiv. I feel in the Tuchin, I'm like, you shouldn't even grab his thing in the street. And that's what the Mishnah is adding. Why not? What's wrong with that? The Pasuk says, don't go into his house. There's a lav, by the way, a lav. Don't go. But who says you can't take it in the street? There's a gezerah, there's a concern, this might lead, if you allow you to take it out in the open, it might lead you to follow into his house and take it there. The Bach adds the word gezerah. Gezerah shami yikonis lebeis elitzel mashkoni, because it might end up drawing him into the house. So we thought we had a right on the Mishnah to Shmuel, but it isn't necessarily conclusive. Masar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef has a kasha on Shmuel, who once again tells us a chidush, that even a shliach bezdin must not enter the borrower's home to take a mashkin. Masav Rav Yosef, Evakash. The Pasuk says, Layachboil. And Layachboil says, Rashi means, B'teich habayis mashma. You can't enter his home to take this piece of equipment. What equipment can't you take? Food-related equipment. Rechaim v'rachat, the parts of the grinder, right? The Rechaim is the bottom part of the millstone. The Rachav is Rechav, the one that rides on top. Any food-related equipment, hands off, right? But otherwise, you could go in and take other pieces of equipment which aren't food-related, no problem. Right? Yachbal, you can snatch it. Furthermore, the Pasuk says, be careful from whom you take. You shouldn't take the almanah's beged. No, but otherwise, another person's begad, no problem. And we're speaking about entering his home. Man, who's trying to do this? Is it a private person? Of course he can't. That's a universal halacha. A pasuk. Hoksiv leisaveil beisoy lavet avoyto. You're not allowed to enter his home if you're a private person. Elav shliach bezdin. Apparently, we're speaking about a shliach bezdin who's allowed to enter, provided he doesn't take these specific items. That's a kasha on Shmuel who says he cannot enter. Tir gemara papa brother of Nachman. He explained it kamei de Rav Yosef. Fun of Rav Yosef. Amlo. Some say it was somebody else. Rav papa brother of Yosef kamei de Rav Yosef. He answered like this. Lo elam bal chayiv. Certainly, the pasuk speaking about a private person. who anyway shouldn't be entering his home. So why does the pasuk have to highlight, oh, don't take food-related equipment? To make it more strict, more stringent. To make it usher for two reasons. First of all, the basic issur of entering his home to take a mashkana. Secondly, because of this specific equipment that you're taking, which is inappropriate. V'lav v'olav to transgress on this act, b'shnei lavin, with two isurim. Tashmai, comes another rite. Mashma shenema b'chutz tamid. So the pasuk reads like this, b'chutz tamid, stay outside, v'ish, and the man, asher atonai shevoy, the man, we're assuming the pasuk means the man, who you have your claim against, meaning the fellow who borrowed money from you, right? He will bring out the avoit, the mashkin, for you to take. Mimash mashanama b'chutz tamid. Now once the pasuk says, wait outside, don't I already know that he's going to bring it to me? I mean, who else if not him? Don't I already understand that it's going to be the leiva who's going to bring out the stuff? Why does the pasuk add word va'ish? Oh, it's referring to somebody else. L'rabbi shliach pesn. The pasuk here is alluding to a shliach pesn. So we have a reference to three individuals in this pasuk. The lender, b'chutz tamid, stay outside. Then later on the pasuk says, asher atanoi shabai, meaning the fellow who owes you the money, he's going to bring the stuff out. And then in the middle we have the word v'ha'ish, and the man. That's going on the agent of the court. Shliach pesn. V'ha'ish l'rabbi shliach pesn. Now, what status does he have? Is he connected to the first part of the pasuk, wait outside, or the second part of the pasuk, go inside, enter the home? We're assuming it connects to the next part of the pasuk. You stay outside, Mr. Malva. But otherwise, Vaish, Shneach Bezn, or Asher Atanoi Shabai, the Leiva, they can enter to bring the mashkin out to you. It's a Kasha on Shmuel who says he must stay outside. Lo, Shneach Bezn, Kamalva, says the Gemara. No. The word Vaish connects to the previous part of the pasuk. You, Mr. Malva, lender, stay outside, Vachus Tamit. You and the man, and the Shneach Bezn, both of you stay outside. The only one that can enter the home is Va'ashar Atanoi Shaboy, the fellow, poor fellow, who owes you the money. He's going to go there to bring you the mashkin. Toshmai, comes another right. To'im choval tachbel samas reich, if you snatch your friend's beged as a mashkin. Who took the, who seized the mashkin? M'shneach bezna kosu medaber, we're speaking about the agent of the court. Ato emer b'shneach bezna, you say it's him, hakosu medaber, oyeinu ilu b'chev. Perhaps it's going on the Baal Chayiv. Says the Gemara, no, because Shu'aymer lo yisavayel be'yisay lavet avoyte. The Pasuk already warns the Baal Chayiv against going in there and taking a mashkin. Hurry, Baal Chayiv, Omer, that covers the Baal Chayiv. Ha'mani me'kayim, im chaval tachbal, samas reyachas. What then? Who then is alluded to in the Pasuk? Talking about seizing begadim, b'shliach bezn, ha'kasim adaber, b'shliach bezn, who can actually go in there and take the beged. Clearly, a shliach bezn is allowed to enter. That's a kasha. And Shmuel answers the Gemara, you're right, Tanoi, it's machlekes Tanoim. The Sani, as we find the following price. This question of whether or not a shliach bezn may enter is a machlekes Tanoim. Here comes shita number one, shliach bezn shubala mashkanoi. Shliach bezn, who approaches the loiva to take a mashkanoi, comes to the base of the mashkanoi. He's not allowed to enter the home. El oivin vachutz, he must stay outside. Va'ala moitzi le mashkanoi. And the owner brings out a mashkin. Shenemar b'chutz tamid v'ish. This is like Shmuel, right? Lender, stay outside. V'ish. Shneach bezn as well, stay outside. Here comes a dissenting view. V'tani idach, we have another b'risa. V'achayv shebel mashkinoi. V'achayv, who would like to take a mashkin? Lo yikonos lebeisei lemashkinoi. He can't enter the home to do that. Eloimid b'chutz. Rather, he waits outside. V'alo nichnas, and the borrower enters. V'moitzi lemashkinoi, and brings him out the mashkin. Shenemar b'chutz tamid. The pasuk instructs him to wait outside. But ushliach bezdin shabala mashkinoi. That's a different story. Harizah nichas labesi can enter the home on mashkinoi and take the mashkin. So clearly, we have machlekes tanoim in this regard. That's the bottom line. The private person must stay outside. Ushliach bezdin. Well, machlekes tanoim. And the b'risa continues. You can't take anything you wish. One may not take equipment which which is used in food production. So although the pasuk singles out a grinder, a millstone, but the pasuk concludes with the words ki nefesh v'chayvel, and Rashi learns that covers anything that's used in food production. Rashi says this, rabu michi nefesh v'chayvel. So any food-related equipment, don't take that. What else do you leave behind? V'noisa mito, mito, matzah. He leaves in two beds. Why two beds? We'll see in a minute. Umatza and like a felt mattress, la usher for a wealthy man who's accustomed to that type of, sort of mattress. Mito, mito, mapas la ani. If it's a poor man, he leaves in two beds and a sort of a more firm type of mat. Loy. Only for the borrower himself. You're not meant to. You don't have to accommodate his whole family. As long as you leave him what he needs, that's enough. Just as we arrange this type of accommodation for a bal chayiv, we leave him, his basic necessities. Kach mesadrin be'erchin, the same thing with a fellow who owes money to the hegdish. Let's say he promised to give his value, right? That's called erchin, right? And he's not paying up. The bezdin can repossess his belongings, provided they leave him his basic necessities. Asks the Gemara Klapi Laya, which way are you going? Meaning, you're building erchin on bal chayiv. If anything, it's the other way around. How do we even know this concept of misadrin that we're meant to accommodate and provide for his basic needs? That's actually learned from a pasuk by erchin. It says, Hachyeyu me'erkecha. Rashi says that we're meant to, provide for his basic needs, right? Klapi laya, ikar sidur be'erchen ksid. This whole concept of sidur, of arrangements and accommodations, that's by erchen. El ema, rather, we'll switch it around. K'derech shem mesadrin be'erchen, just like we accommodate and we arrange by the erchen, kach mesadrin, likewise, you do the same b'baal chay. Amamar. So we give him these beds. Why does he need two beds? Noisin mito, mito, matzah, la'osher, right? Mito, mito, mapas la'ani. Laman, why are we giving him a double bed? Is a second bed for his family. Ha'amrs, you just told me, you don't have to accommodate him. Only for himself. Apparently both beds are for him. Tati lamali, why two beds? The answer is, one is to eat upon. They used to lie on their beds while they ate. One is to sleep on. So why does he need two beds? Can do both on the same bed. Because Shmuel tells us, Dama Shmuel, Kol mili yedana asusayu. Shmuel was an expert doctor. I have the remedy for every issue. Lebar mahani tlas, except for the following three complications that arise from irresponsible behavior. Number one, man da achala ahina marira, a fellow who eats this bitter date. Aliber kan on an empty stomach, that's terrible. I can't help him on that. Uman da asar misna de kisna, likewise a fellow who uses this flax, this linen belt, retiva, this wet, this fresh linen thing, acharti, and he ties it around his waist, he's in trouble. And finally, uman da ochel nahama, a person who eats bread, lemaski, and he fails to walk, arbor gamidi, four amos, after his meal, he just plops down, goes to sleep. It makes digestion very difficult, and this fellow is really in trouble. So basically, we need to have two beds to ensure that he'll take a walk after his meal, at least to get to his sleeping bed, and that's why it's crucial to have two beds. Tani Tana Kameder Rav Nachman. There was a Chacham who presented the following halachta Rav Nachman. K'derech Shem Mesadrin. Be'erchen Kach Mesadrin Beval Chayv. Right? So just like we make these accommodations by the Erechen, we leave him his basic necessities, the same for the Baal Chayv. Omer Leisur, Rav Nachman had a kasha. How could you say that we leave him, his basic necessities? Amalei hashta zvuni mezabninalei. Take a look at the Mishnah. Mishnah says, after a while, we just sell it, right? We don't even give back to him. Mesadrinalei? Sadura mesadrinalei? How could you suggest that we are mesada, which means that we leave it by him initially, we don't even take it? Not only do we take these things, we even sell them. Right? After, let's say, 30 days or whatever, right? Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Umi mas binin alei? What do you mean we sell them? Atnan, take a look at the Mishnah. Machzer sakar ba lailo. Actually, we accommodate him very generously. We return, we give him back his mattress at night, his shovel, his plow in the morning. What do you mean we sell it? Oh, Tana Kribshim Gamliel Tana Kame. What happened was this Chacham quoted this halacha of Misadrin the Baal Chayiv in the name of who? Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Who's actually quoted now Mishnah as well. Remember that last line the Mishnah quoted him. And basically this Chacham was presenting this halacha in his name, that what? That Rav Shimon Gamliel says, you are misader, meaning you accommodate, you leave behind, you know, the crucial equipment by the Baal Chayiv. We let him hold on to it because it's critical for his livelihood and his basic needs, etc. And on that, Rav Nachman responded, how could you say that we don't even take these things? V'achi ka'amale. The kasha was hashta. L'Rav Shim Gamliel zevuni mezavnin alei. According to Rav Shim Gamliel, right? Once 30 days are up, even if it's critical equipment that he needs for his livelihood, we just sell it off. That's it. You had your chance, we sell it. Siduri mezavnin alei. How could you suggest that we don't even take these kalim, right? So really that means we don't even take them to begin with. According to him, we sell everything after 30 days. This non. Rav Shimon leimer afla atzmai einei machzer elash leishim yaim, right? Even to, you know, the owner himself. Look, once 30 days are up, even if he's still alive, right? Not only if he passed away. Right? Even if the fellow's still alive, the borrower, the lev is still alive, once 30 days are up, that's it, your chance is over. So that was his kasha, Rav Nachman's kasha. How can you say Masadrinan that we leave him all these important pieces of equipment, his stuff, his bed, everything, right? After a while, Shmuel says you sell it, totally sell it. So how can you suggest that you wouldn't take these things to begin with? Says the Gemara, who says that he meant to say that after 30 days you sell it completely? He didn't mean that. Maybe he just meant that you downgrade the quality of that equipment. You only allow him to keep what is absolutely critical. So let's say he has this expensive piece of equipment which he doesn't really need. Right? Dilma chikamer, maybe all he meant is like this. Until 30 days. Right? He took his basic, his equipment, his need, right? You give it back to him when he needs it, right? Once 30 days are up, you only give him back what he absolutely needs. You can sell what he doesn't really need. For instance, let's say he has this expensive coat, right? Does he really need that to keep warm? No. You can do with a polyester coat, with a imitation down coat, right? So you got to do that. Once 30 days are up, you can sell that item and just provide him with the basic, critical needs. So what was the whole kasha here that, we don't even just get rid of it? We still accommodate him. So it can very well be that according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we have the idea of misadrin. That, we'll still allow him to keep his basic equipment, what he needs, right? Says the Gemara, you can't say that, Pshat. You can't suggest that according to the Shita, you'll downgrade. There's no such thing as downgrading by a Yid. A Yid is a prince. He deserves the nicest and the biggest and the best. Isan gadaitach isle. Because his kasha was, if in fact he holds of this idea that you masader al-Balchayv, you accommodate him and provide for his basic needs. Leka midid lechazile. You can't suggest. There's nothing that's not suitable for him. He deserves the fanciest stuff. You can't downgrade. If you have to accommodate, you have to let him have it the way it is. You know why? Don't Abaye. Abaye tells us elsewhere that the following four Tanoim all subscribe to this concept that a Yid is special. A Yid is a member of royalty. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Kula Sfiru, they all hold Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim Hem. All of Yisrael are members of the royal family. And are expected to live accordingly. Right? And it pertains to various halachas. Let's see. Right? So, royalty is befitting all of Klal Yisrael. Let's go down the list. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, where do we find him? This is on Shabbos. Luf is some sort of bean, which is not really edible. Even birds don't eat it raw. Lo yisachardel, mustard. These things are not. You can't use it on Shabbos. You can't move it on Shabbos, right? Because you can't grind them. You can't cook on Shabbos. Shimon Gamliel matir b'luf. He says luf is not mukta. You know why? Meishu machal la'ervin. You can feed it to ravens. I mean, who has ravens? Says Rashi on the first wide line on the bottom. V'yisrael b'nei melachim. Yidin b'nei melachim. V'yesh lahem legad la'ervin l'noy l'schaik. And just as in the palaces, in the royal palaces, they raise these birds for amusement, right? So every Yid has that ability, every Yid has that knack. And therefore, halachically, it's considered suitable for him because he can, it's appropriate for a Yid to raise birds, to raise urban. It's an exotic type of bird, and therefore the food is not mukta. Because he can use it for animal feed. Interesting. Rabbi Shimon, what do we find? He subscribes to this point. It's not name lochim. Sochen shemen vera damakisein b'shabbos. Anybody's allowed to smear just plain oil, but a prince can use rose oil, a special fragrant oil, even on his wound on Shabbos. Shekein darkon losa b'chol. Doesn't present as a remedy. We're not allowed to make do things which are clearly remedies. Rashi says because Xeru the Rabbani might grind up a medicine, but if it's something that looks like just regular practice, not doesn't have medicinal properties to it, it doesn't appear necessarily as a medical procedure, then it's mutar on Shabbos, even though it benefits you medically. That's the halacha. So what about using something that's unusual, something exotic, this exotic oil? So B'nai Malachim can do that because Shekein Darakon Lasa V'chol, because they're accustomed to do so during the weekday. And an ordinary person can't, because by him it would be pretty apparent that he's doing it for a refuah. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, no. Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim Hain. All of Yisrael have the status, they can use this type of oil. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiba, the Sani, Reisha, Yunation, Be'el of Zuz. So this fellow owed a person 1,000 Zuz. V'lov Isla Basmeya, Mona, and he's wearing this royal-looking coat worth $100. We force him to give up the expensive coat, and we give him just a plain coat. You have to pay for it alone. V'tana mishum b'shmol, v'tana mishum rekiva. We have a quote from these Tanoim. No, kol yisro b'nei melach, ru'i lo yisro itzla. You can't downgrade his coat. Every Yid is a son of royalty, should be wearing royal clothes, and has a right to wear this exquisite-looking garment. So bottom line, we can't suggest that according to Shimon Gamliel, who holds of Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim, that we're going to go downgrade his equipment. It's inappropriate. It doesn't work. Now, we'll remind this halakha that mikara. Now, initially we thought we do that, right? We take the more expensive item, we downgrade it, and we give him what he needs, only what's absolutely necessary. So let's go back to the two examples in Mishnah. Mishlei Makar V'Keses. Bedding equipment, blankets and mattress, pillow. Chazi le dibeni beni. So there we can understand that a downgrade is applicable. You can go from a fancy thing to a plain thing. Okay, ala machresha la machazi. But the other item in the Mishnah was a machresha plow. I mean, how are you going to downgrade a plow? Either it works or it doesn't, right? Amar Rabba bar Rabba machresha the kasper. What happened was this fellow had a silver machresha, which he doesn't need. It's nice and all, but right, he doesn't really need that. Now, Tosfos learns, we're not speaking about a farming plow. They don't make silver farming plows. It means like a back scratcher type of thing, something you use in the merchats, in the bathhouse, some sort of scraper. So he had this really rebbish looking, you know, silver looking thing, and he doesn't need that. As long as he gets a functioning scraper, he's good. So that's what the Mishnah meant. Okay, maskef l'Rav Chaga. So let's go back to the idea of misadrin l'bal chayiv, right? We allow for his basic needs, we give him his basic equipment, for his livelihood, for his personal use. Asks the Gemara, v'leimulei lavalai karamis, why can't the lender say, look, lavalai karamis, it's not my business. Your needs are not my obligations. Look, you borrowed money from me, pay me up. Amalei abaye, yep, ivralei karamis. Actually, he's wrong. It is his obligation. He is responsible for the poor man's well-being. Look, the pasuk says so. Pasuk says, provide for him, make sure he has his, give him back his, you know, his blanket, whatever that he needs, whatever he needs. It's your mitzvah. I think they used to say about Moshe Reichman, he said that, look, money is not my, I'm just a caretaker. It's like Hashem deposited his money with me, like a gmach. It's not like I am giving my money to this person, that. I'm just a caretaker. I'm a funnel. I'm a pipeline. Through me, Hashem is providing. That's the way Erlich looks at his money. A wealthy man who's given extra money out for himself, what, he can never use this money. In his lifetime, he can't use it. So it's for providing for others. The chatiyat tzedakah, and that's the right attitude, which we learned today in the Gemara. Okay, bottom line, in terms of a mashkin, so a private individual cannot enter the loiv's home, that's a given. What about shliach bezn, we have a machlokes. And then we proceeded with the halacha of mesadron lebal chayiv, we have to provide for his basic needs, as per the pasuk, ul chol tiyat tzedakah, all the best to you, and hatzlacha.